Okay, let's get into it. Today is Sunday, February 15th, 2026. And if you're looking at your calendar, maybe wondering what you're going to do next week, you might notice we are exactly 9 days away from a release that's been quietly,
No, maybe not so quietly.
right, maybe not so quietly, building up some serious steam in the indie world.
It's a date a lot of us Metroidvania fans have had circled for a while now. We are talking about Emberbane.
Emberbane, even the name just sounds cool, you know? But the elevator pitch is what really, really grabbed me. Everywhere I looked, articles, forums, devlogs, I just kept seeing this one
Oh,
phrase,
I know the one.
the avatar of Metroidvania gaming. And I mean, my brain immediately goes to bending elements, throwing fireballs, moving rocks. Who doesn't want to be the avatar?
It's a strong hook. It really is. But what's so fascinating is that they aren't just using it as like a marketing buzzword. It seems to be baked into the very structure of the game. Usually you think of Avatar-style powers. You think of a linear action game, right? You go from point A to point B. But Emberbane is taking that whole magic system and dropping it into a Metroidvania.
Which just changes everything, the entire dynamic, because Metroidvanias aren't just about fighting, they're about movement, exploration, getting lost in a good way.
Exactly. It's all about that interconnected map where new powers don't just give you a bigger attack, they give you a new key to the world. It's a genre fusion that, I mean, on paper it makes perfect sense, but it is so difficult to actually pull off.
Before we really dive deep into the gameplay, let's just look at that title again, Emberbane. You've got Ember, which is, a glowing piece of coal, and Bane, a destroyer.
Right, it's all about the protagonist. You're playing this young warrior who can control fire, the ember, but also all the other elements. So you become the bane of your enemies.
So our mission today is pretty straightforward. We're going to try and unpack why this specific indie game is getting so much buzz right before it launches. We'll look at the mechanics, the world, and whether you should clear a schedule for February 24th.
I think we have to start with the world itself, because a Metroidvania is only ever as good as its map. If the world isn't interesting to explore, it doesn't matter how cool your powers are.
Okay, so the setting is this really rich Eastern fantasy world. The backstory is, well, it's that the world was once governed by four elemental tribes.
Fire, water, air, and earth. Pretty standard setup until, it all goes wrong.
Enter the Ashen Lord.
Of course.
There's always an Ashen Lord somewhere, isn't there? Ruining the party.
Always. And he disrupts the balance, plunges the world into chaos, and that's where you, the player, come in. But unlike other games where you might pick a class at the start, here the whole point is that you have this rare ability to control all four elements.
And that's where the avatar comparison really starts to hold water.
Pun intended.
Maybe a little. But seriously, the devs, Tekken Game, they've openly said Avatar, The Last Airbender, was a huge inspiration. But again, it's that structure. You're not just walking down a corridor. This is a seamless world.
No loading screens. And that's a crucial detail. It really is. That feeling of a living, breathing labyrinth is the heart of the genre. And your progression is gated by your powers. That's standard Metroidvania design, but it's the flavor of it that matters here. You're not finding a blue key for a blue door.
Right, it's more organic. You might get, say, a fire ability that lets you melt an ice wall you saw 3 hours ago, or, find a secret room behind some overgrown
It
vines.
rewards that curiosity. But let's be honest, you spend a lot of time fighting in these games. And this is where Emberbane seems to be really innovating. They call the combat system Dancing with the Elements.
Dancing is such a good word for it because it implies flow. You're not just mashing buttons, you're supposed to be switching between these four elements on the fly. And we've got some details on what each one actually does so we can paint a picture.
Okay, let's start with fire.
Fire is your raw power, it's your DPS. If you want to see big numbers, you use fire. You've got fireballs, flaming swords for up close, and this fire blast for groups.
But notice the utility too. It's not just for combat. The notes say you can melt ice obstacles, so your weapon is also your key. You see a frozen waterfall, you know you need to come back with fire.
Then you've got water. This one sounds a bit more tactical.
It is. It's all about control, crowd control. You're not doing the most damage, but you are dictating the pace of a fight. You can freeze enemies solid, you can put up a water shield, you can even summon waves to push enemies around.
Which is always so satisfying. Just, push them right into some spikes. And what about for utility?
You can water dry plants to create new platforms.
Oh, that is so cool. So you see a withered vine, you hit it with water, and boom, a new path opens up. It makes the world feel reactive.
Exactly. Then there's air.
Mobility, speed. This is for players who love to zip around the screen. You've got an air dash, you've got wind blades for quick hits, and my favorite, tornadoes that literally launch enemies into the air.
And for traversal, you're using air currents to reach higher places. And finally, you have Earth.
The tank build.
Pretty much. Earth is all defense and raw strength. You get stone armor, you can raise stone pillars, some of these massive stone fists, and naturally, you use it to smash through stone walls and weak floors.
Okay, so on their own, that's a really solid toolkit. You've got your damage, your control, your speed, and your defense. But here's where it gets really interesting. It's not about picking one. The source material keeps highlighting this combo system.
This is the aha moment. This is where the magic happens when you start chaining them together. You're not just swapping, you're combining them based on the game's physics.
Let's use some of their examples because they paint such a great picture. First one is water plus freeze, then fire plus shatter.
All right, so imagine a big enemy is charging you. You switch to water, freeze him solid, he's a statue. Then you immediately switch to fire and hit him. Because he's frozen, that fire attack triggers a shatter effect.
Massive damage.
Huge damage. It's the classic RPG idea. But doing it in real time in an action game, it just feels good. It rewards you for thinking ahead.
Okay, here's another one. Air plus fire equals a firestorm.
Yeah, this is all about area control. You create a tornado with air, which sucks enemies in, and then you just infuse it with fire. Now you've got a spinning vortex of death.
That sounds incredible to look at. And then there's earth plus water, which makes mud.
Hey, don't underestimate the mud.
I mean, it sounds a little underwhelming next to a fire tornado, though.
Think about it tactically. It creates a patch on the ground that traps enemies, slows them way down. So if you're getting swarmed by a pack of really fast enemies, turning the floor to mud gives you that critical breathing room.
That makes sense. It's crowd control. And the last one they mentioned was air plus earth makes a sandstorm.
Which blinds enemies. It creates confusion. So if you put it all together, the combat becomes this strategic puzzle. You're not just mashing. You're looking at an enemy and thinking, okay, he's fast, I need mud. Or he's heavily armored, I need to go for a shatter combo.
It adds a layer of depth that'll keep it from getting repetitive, for sure.
Yeah.
But you don't just start with all this power, do you? This is still a game about progression.
Correct. You have to earn it. And the system relies on a few different things. You have Ember Cores, which are rare items you get from bosses or secrets. Those are for upgrading specific elemental powers.
So that's your major upgrade path. And then there are Spirit Shards.
Which seem to be the standard currency from enemies. You use those for passive stuff, more health, faster speed, things like that.
But I really like the sound of this elemental mastery system. It's a learning by doing kind of thing.
Yes. The more you use an element, the stronger it gets.
Yeah.
It encourages you to use your entire toolkit, not just find one move you like and spam it for the whole game.
It stops you from becoming a one-trick pony. And we can't forget the hidden techniques. They mentioned finding hidden temples that teach you advanced moves, like the double element cast.
Right. Using two elements at the same time. That sounds like some serious late-game power fantasy stuff right there. Casting fire and air at the same moment.
Let's shift gears a bit and talk about the world itself. We said it's interconnected, but let's talk about the loop.
Ah, the loop. It's so critical in this genre. It's that feeling when you've gone deep into a dangerous area, you're almost dead, and then you kick down a ladder or open a door. And
you're right back at a checkpoint you saw 2 hours ago.
Yes. It makes the world feel real. It's not just a series of levels. It's a cohesive place that connects back on itself. It helps you build that mental map.
And for people like me who have to check every single wall for a secret, it sounds like there's a ton of hidden content.
The notes mention breakable walls, diggable floors, using earth, I'm guessing, and even burnable ceilings. You have to be looking everywhere.
Burnable ceilings is a new one for me. I'm usually just hitting walls.
It forces you to look at the world through the lens of your powers. Can I burn that? Can I freeze that?
Plus, you know, lore tablets for the story buffs, challenge rooms, and even optional bosses for unique rewards.
And the visual variety helps keep that exploration from getting stale. You're not in the same biome the whole time. You've got the Ember Peaks with volcanoes, the tidal depths with underwater caves.
The Skyward Sanctum sounds terrifying. Floating temples and air currents. I can already feel myself falling 1,000 times.
And the stone gardens, these petrified forests. That visual storytelling is so important.
Now, we have to talk about the look of the game. Pixel art can mean a lot of things. This seems to be on the high end.
It's high detail pixel art for sure. But the thing that really stood out to me was the focus on lighting and physics.
Yeah, the physics details. They mentioned water droplets spreading realistically and flames moving dynamically.
That's super rare for a 2D pixel art game. Usually those animations are, canned. But having dynamic fluids and fire makes the elements feel, well, alive, dangerous.
And the music seems to match that whole vibe.
It does. They went for a soundtrack that fits that Eastern setting. Traditional instruments like the erhu and shakuhachi flute, Japanese drums, but it's all blended with modern orchestration to give it scale.
Okay, so it looks good, it sounds good, the combat is deep. But here's the big question for a lot of people listening. Is it hard?
Well, the direct comparisons they're making are Hollow Knight and Celeste.
Yes, it's hard.
It's challenging, but fair. That's the key phrase. It's for fans who want that pushback. You are expected to fail, learn the pattern, and try again.
Let's talk about the bosses, because that's where the difficulty usually spikes. They're calling them epic boss fights.
Right. And each one represents an element. You can't just brute force them. You have to use the right counter.
Right.
Like the Flame Warden. It's a fire boss that fills the screen with fire. You literally have to use your water shield to survive.
Or the Tidal Serpent, a water dragon where you have to use platforms and evaporate its attacks with your fire.
And the Storm Sovereign, a super fast aerial enemy. You have to use earth attacks to ground it. If you try to chase it in the air, you're just going to lose.
So it reinforces that puzzle aspect of the combat. You have to bring the right tool for the job.
Exactly. And it's not just the bosses. The platforming is described as Celeste inspired.
Which means precision, air dashes, wall jumps.
And switching elements midair. Yeah. Imagine jumping, air dashing, switching to fire to melt an ice block in front of you, and then landing on the other side.
Okay, that switching midair part makes my fingers hurt just thinking about it. But they did mention a fair checkpoint system.
Which is a mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Checkpoints right before bosses. So when you die, and you will die, you don't have to replay 20 minutes of easy stuff just to get back to the hard part. It respects your time.
So let's bring this all back. It's February 15th. The game is out on the 24th. Why should people be thinking about this right now?
Well, practically, if you wishlist it now on Steam, you'll get notified. But beyond that, look at the accessibility.
The tech specs, you mean?
Yeah. Exactly. It's 2D pixel art. It'll run on older laptops. You don't need a high-end gaming PC for this. If you have a decent laptop from 5 years ago, you can probably run this perfectly.
And the price point is great, too. Indie pricing, probably around that $15 to $25 mark.
For what, an estimated 15 to 20 hours of gameplay? That's incredible value compared to a lot of big budget games.
Plus, for any content creators listening, this thing sounds like it's made for streaming.
It absolutely is. It's full of wow moments.
Yeah.
The combos, the boss fights, the high skill ceiling. It's just fun to watch someone be really good at a game like this. It's flashy.
And, on a personal level, there's just something great about supporting a small studio like Tekken Game. They're not some massive corporation. This is a passion project.
And you can see that passion
mm-hmm.
in the details, the physics, the combo system. Supporting indie devs is how we keep getting these kinds of creative, interesting games.
So, to wrap it up, we're looking at a blend of Hollow Knight, Celeste, and Ori, but with this really unique Avatar-style combat system where you're mixing elements in real time.
It's a Metroidvania that really wants you to think as much as you react, to see the world and the enemies as a puzzle to solve with your toolkit.
And frankly, the idea of creating a firestorm just by combining air and fire sounds like a ridiculously good time.
It certainly does.
I do want to leave you with one final thought, though. We talked about the combos we know about making mud, firestorms, but the sources keep emphasizing that this is a system based on physics and interaction.
Right. It's not just pre-scripted combos. It's systems interacting with each other.
So if you can combine air and earth to make a sandstorm, what else is in there? What happens when you combine a fully upgraded water blast with a late game air technique? Does it create a hurricane?
And that's the exciting part. When you give players a sandbox like this, they are absolutely going to find interactions that the developers might not have even planned for.
Emergent gameplay. That's where the real magic is.
That process of discovery is the best part of gaming.
So here's your call to action. Check your Steam wish list. The game is Emberbane. It drops in 9 days on February 24th. Get ready to master the elements.
And maybe clear out your schedule for that weekend. I think you're going to need it.
Definitely. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.